This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
Investigators saying back to the defense, you know, if you want to go talk to these people, go talk to these people now, all these years later. What kind of difference would be taking place there psychologically with someone, you know, the week of the investigation? Obviously, that's the initial investigation. Obviously, that's a very important time. I mean, there's television shows about it, the first 48 hours and things like that, because we know that that is such a critical time in gathering information about talking to someone who, not even necessarily the murderer, but just suspects or people who may have some knowledge of, oh yeah, so-and-so was out there that day. And then going and interviewing them today, all that was lost. I mean, how impactful is that to have lost all of that material?
Yeah, it's really significant because memory changes, it evolves, it's malleable, and people are going to give a very different story in all likelihood, even if they're not intending to.
Yeah.
It's they've been influenced in all this time. That has to be a part of it.
And there are such things as false memories too, where
yes.
where you know, one can hear information. Can you explain that a little bit more in detail to try and understand, you know, what exactly like a false memory is, like an example of how that could change from back then to today?
Yeah, there have been a lot of experiments with memory in the last 30, 40 years. And we used to think that it was sort of like a videotape in your head, you know, that there was mm-hmm. this recording of your life and things that happened, and people could just, you know, stop and think about something and then recall this like watching a video and mm-hmm. relay this. And that used to be a lot of how cases were tried, you know, that memory by eyewitnesses was looked at as infallible. We know that that's not true now. There have been some interesting experiments where kids were told, this was by a psychologist named Elizabeth Loftus, who's very famous. Kids were told, little children, remember the time you got lost at the mall and a lady came up to you, and then they would go through this whole scenario. And a huge percentage of the kids, it was like at least half the kids, would then incorporate this story as if it had really happened. And they would come back years later and ask them, were you ever lost at the mall? And they would say, oh, yes. And it was just as if that this had been a real thing. And so we know there have been additional studies since then. That was the first big one where it was like, whoa, this kind of shook the world, of people who have been given material that they've seen in a movie or whatever, and then later on they were asked to recall and they incorporated that into the memory. So we know that memory is very fallible, very flexible, and I think it's true for all of us.
How interesting. I mean, obviously that was with kids being lost at the mall, who hadn't been lost at the mall.
Exactly.
But then they have that. Is there a difference in adults at all, though? With, I mean, I guess, you know, kids, we can kind of say, you know, I think I remember a lot of details as a child better than I do as an adult. Mm-hmm. Some will say it's the opposite for them. But, you know, there's so many weird random things that I will remember in great detail from that time. As an adult, it's like, I don't, last week, I'm kind of fuzzy on. But is it different with adults or children? And how has that been applied in an adult fashion to see how that works as well?
Yeah, it does work with adults, probably not to the same extreme as it does with children, but they've done a lot of research where adults are shown photos of people who look like a perpetrator, and just seeing the photos has influenced the way that they recall an event, even when it was clearly not the person who could be there, but they make mistakes just depending on what photos they're shown.
So how reliable is that? You know, police lineups, things like that, that we've, you know, seen over the years where they bring, you know, all the people out and like, it's number 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5 or whatever. How accurate are those sort of exercises when it comes to identifying a possible suspect or perpetrator, you know, or is it kind of more so, I mean, if you see the person and you really know, okay, I'm going to guess it's pretty easy, but if there's some question there and one person looks a little shadier than the other, is it more in our minds than to go pick the shadiest looking person, at least from our mm-hmm. prism mm-hmm. of view?
Yeah, I think our minds fill in the blanks a lot. And it's unfortunate, but I think there, well, I know there have been quite a few cases where people have identified a perpetrator in a lineup, and then it turns out years later when we have DNA that they were wrong, even though they were really sure at that moment.
Yeah.
And so I think we all have to be aware that we're suggestible, memory is malleable, it changes, it's influenced.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, watching news shows or documentaries or things that people may have seen over the years, it can change the way that they perceive things.
So testimony from someone today who had their testimony taped over 10 years ago, really not at all the same thing.
It's probably not going to be the same thing in many cases. Yeah, they're going to remember things differently or remember things that didn't really happen or not remember things that did. It's unfortunate.
How often do people like insert things into those memories where it's, you know, I this person told me this or that? I mean, is it smaller things that people kind of tend to be off on of like, well, the restaurant looked like this or the layout was like this? Or is it like full-blown, you know, conversations and like big pieces of information that our memory can insert that really didn't take place?
I think the memory is probably more prone to small details and things that were said that maybe weren't said. If it's an actual big event, I think an adult is probably going to be less likely to, you know, have their mind fill in the blanks. But our minds are always filling in the blanks when we think about history, even when we think about what did I eat for breakfast yesterday. Well, we might fill in the blanks with what we usually eat for breakfast without realizing, oh, no, I did something different yesterday. We were out of the bagels. I had toast instead or whatever. But I think that's just the way memory works. We're always filling in the blanks of the history.
And our minds are trying to go, okay, here's what's logically, like a perfect example would be one of those Mandela effects, if you will, Tiananmen Square, for example. So many people remember the man being run over. He wasn't run over. He climbed up onto the tank. But because oftentimes, you know, television will stop playing the video right there, we assume, well, we got run overs. They're not showing it because it's horrible and disgusting, but that's not even reality. But people will claim that they saw this sort of thing happening.
Yeah, it definitely is one of the problems with the human mind. It's not as sophisticated in many ways as we like to think it is. We have a lot of play with it.
Sure. I mean, the Mandela effect is always a very interesting thing to talk about, where obviously it's about Nelson Mandela. People believe or had in memory that he died in prison. He did not. And that's where that comes. But there's so many other things. There's the idea that Sinbad was in a movie called Shazam or something that never existed. And so many of the children of the 90s and 80s, I'm one of them, could swear to God we saw this movie or saw pictures
of it. I thought it existed. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, are those moments prime examples of our minds collectively filling in the blank, especially when it's a larger thing and you have populations all over the country or all over the world that are doing that same sort of thing because our minds are going to the same places?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Yeah, you can find it within cultures where things become the dominant theme in the culture and everybody thinks that that's what happened.
Yeah, very interesting. And then to not have all that information for the case itself, I think that the damage there is so understated in this case. It's it's crazy.
Yeah, it's really sad because we want to see the guy have a fair trial and we want to know as much as we possibly can in all directions. And it's really a tragedy.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.